وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. And amen to all your beautiful du'as. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower his choices blessings on you. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وقل رب زدني علما. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون. وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. All praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al Ansar International, today we share with you a story of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam and the visiting of the sick. Once Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a revelation to Nabi Musa alayhi salam, "O Musa alayhi salam, you did not come to visit me during my illness." So Hazrat Musa alayhi salam replied, "Ya Allah, you are free of all shortcomings and free of illness. Glory be to you. What is the meaning of the statement? Please explain." From the unseen, a voice was heard. "O Musa alayhi salam, a certain devotee of mine, who is also my chosen one, has fallen in. Go and look at him with a caring eye. The illness of him who is close to me warrants your attention. Your visiting him in his sickness is for your own benefit, and its benefit, reward, nearness, and the fruits of his du'as will all return to you on returning from him. Even if the sick one be an enemy, visiting him is better, for through benevolence, very often an enemy also becomes a friend. And even if he does not become a friend, at least there will be a lessening of enmity and malice, because doing good to some is an ointment against the wound of malice. Apart from these, there are many other benefits of benevolence, but I fear extending this topic, O my righteous friend." The lessons that we derive from this particular story is, we see here how great Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his contact is with his special servants. He considers their sickness a means of drawing closer to him. This shows their state of belovedness to him. Maulana Rumi rahmatullah alayhi referred to this relationship in another place where he says, "Whosoever desires to be a companion of Allah should sit in the gathering of the saintly ones, and should consider his love and service to them to be love and service to Allah." The second advice is that even if an enemy is sick, he should be visited. This visit will make him a friend. If he is not going to become a friend, then at least his enmity will decrease. So, however, for Allah's sake, cutting off of relations with someone is required, then such a person should not be visited before a clear announcement of repentance has been made. Until such time, one should remain far away from him. Now, there's a beautiful hadith of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam which summarizes all this here. "Man ahabba lillah wa abghadha lillah wa a'ta lillah wa mana'a lillah faqad istakmala al-iman." The one who loves for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or he has enmity with anybody for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or he gives in the path for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or he refrains from giving also for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَقَدِ اسْتَكْمَلَ الْإِيمَانِ, his iman has been completed. Now there's a story of the tree of life, Shajaratul Khuld. A wise man once told a person, just to test him, that in India there is such a tree that whoever eats of the fruits of that tree never dies. When the king heard of this, he fell in love with that tree, and he said he immediately sent a messenger to India to search for this tree. The messenger wandered around in India from place to place in search of this tree. He wandered about in quite a distressed state, but nowhere did he find such a tree. Whenever he inquired from people, they would tell him, "Only mad people look for such a tree." They used to jeer and scoff at him. At last, when he had become tired of roaming around like that in a foreign country, and exhausted by the difficulties of travel, he decided to return home. He was very disappointed. On his return, he met a pious sheikh along the way. So he said to the sheikh, "O sheikh, this is a time for mercy and benevolence. I have become helpless and disappointed in my quest. This is a time for your kindness." The sheikh replied, "What is your disappointment? And what is the nature of your quest?" So he replied, he says, "My king has given me this job to search for such a tree in India that whosoever eats of its fruits will live forever. I have wandered around in India for years and searched everywhere, but no sign of it did I find. People jeer at me and consider me a mad one." So the sheikh listened to him, laughed and said, he said, "O Salim, this tree is only the bounty of knowledge. Through knowledge a person finds everlasting life, and one without knowledge is a dead one. You have searched for the outer form of knowledge and therefore lost the way. You have been deprived of the form of knowledge too, because you failed to understand the inner meaning." So what lesson do we learn from here? The wise man who originally told the story about the tree in India actually compared knowledge to a tree. His aim was to test the listener. Knowledge is an abstract concept, and such abstract concepts do not stand by themselves alone. For their existence, they require an agent or a place on which to exist. Thus, knowledge can only be acquired from the ulama. So the ulama are the trees. By knowledge is meant only that knowledge which causes one to reach Allah. The knowledge which is the means of livelihood and leads to employment in industry and trade is called industrial knowledge and trade knowledge. True knowledge is only the knowledge of deen, through which a person tries to please his master and thereby acquire a life of honor in both the worlds. Without this knowledge, a person is a corpse, even if he is alive. For this reason, the wise man compared knowledge to the water of life. Without this knowledge, recognition and the marifat of Allah is impossible. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us true knowledge of his deen and grant us the ability to practice according to their knowledge. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.